Hi.
How are you?
I'm good, Baruch Hashem.
Oh, that's great. Wonderful. Very good. Now then, let me add in. I'm telling you that Perek Shira is making such a difference to my life.
I'm so happy, Yadida. I really thought that I should give it to you, so I'm glad
Well,
that you feel that way.
it's absolutely inspired. It's
Isn't it?
inspired.
Isn't it wonderful?
Yeah, I find like all these different songs of the nature are like I can start to try and find them in me. It's amazing. I mean, like really to believe that everything that a human being is a whole world, and to just to try to say, well, I'm discovering like kochot I never knew I had. It's like amazing. It's beautiful. I shared it with one of my chavrutas, and she said, "Oh, that's it. I'm going right out to buy it." So there you go. She's the one in Minneapolis. So you're
Oh, yes, she can easily get it in Minneapolis.
yeah. And she said, I mean, she was just thrilled when she saw it. We sort of looked at it together on the internet. We found a place where you could look at, look at the pages. And she was just like, oh my gosh, And she was just so happy. Incredible. Oh, here we go. All right, better add the others in.
Leia's here.
Oh, Leia's with you.
She will be. She's coming, and I can't come. Well, she can't come.
Who,
So,
Dahlia?
Dahlia.
Okay, so it's just you and Leia then this morning. I think, yeah.
Dahlia can come.
Sorry?
Dahlia can come.
Oh, Dahlia can.
Dahlia would like to be joined onto the call.
Okay, right. Oh, I misunderstood. Sorry. It's my British hearing. Yeah, I mean, like the way we say can't and you say can't or kind of thing, a bit different.
I see.
It sounds different anyhow. Whatever it
It is different.
is. Yeah, it's a different language. Yeah. Hi,
Well,
Dahlia.
good morning.
Okay, Tov, how are you doing?
Baruch Hashem, very good.
Well, Baruch Hashem is great. If
Yes.
we can say Baruch Hashem, we're doing marvelously.
Yes.
Very good indeed. Now then. Well, then I can't figure out if I have my glasses on, do I see better or worse? I'm not quite sure about this question. Anybody remember where we were? I think we were on Yud. I have it on Mark.
I have a mark on cuff
Kaf, yeah. I thought we got to
on
that.
page Nun.
Yeah, I marked page Nun, but this is my husband's copy, and he made so many marks in it that I've no idea which one was mine. Yes, that's right. We did Yud, definitely. Very good indeed. Okay, is that okay for you, Dahlia?
Yeah, what page is that?
That's page Nun.
Page none. Okay. Okay.
All right then. Susan, would you like to read the Ari at the top?
Vidalin?
Yeah.
Okay. Igulim, who or Hanefesh. Ve'ha'or ha-yushar or ha-ruah. Tchila
No, Netzlu, it's a spelling mistake. Net, Netz, net, you just say Netzlu. They put the nun and the aleph around the wrong way.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah, it's
Netzlu
a spelling mistake.
ha-igulim ve
Achar kach.
Hayushar.
Excellent.
Omnam ha-chiluk sheyesh bein ha-igulim v'ha-yushar hu ki
Yod Sfirot.
sirot igulim hem bechinat ha-or ha-nikra nefesh v'yesh behem or pnimi v'or makiv. Ha-Hitzon, sheyesh la bechinat yud, sfirot, shel kelim. Kol kli mehem, yesh pnimiyut v'chitzoniyut. V'tach yesh Yud Svirot Shel Orot. L'chol Or Yesh Bo Or Pnimi Ba'or Makif. Aval Har Yud Svirot Yosher Hem Bechinat Ha'or HaNikra Wow. Shehu Madraga Gvoa Al Madragat HaNefesh Kenoda. Gan Hem Tulim Me Or Pnimi Ba'or Makif Gam Yesh Lahem Yud Svirot Dekevim V'chol kli mehem yesh bo pnimiyut v'chitzoniyut. U'shtika hi shebechinat hanefesh netzla ha'tchila ve'acharka netzal ruach.
All right, excellent. Thank you very much. Dalia, I'm terribly sorry, but your microphone's gone squeaky again.
Okay.
Sorry.
Did that help? No.
Yes, I don't know. Yes, it did. Something happened.
Okay. Is that all right?
Yeah, I think so. Well, we'll keep trying, but it sounds less squeaky. Great, thank you. Ora igulim, so the ora igulim hu ora nefesh. Nefesh means it doesn't have a will of its own. Like, for example, ora nefesh is vayinafash. If you think about that word, it's something which is, and he rested, something which is at rest, which is passive, and so it's, there's this passivity about it. For example, if you want to go, you know, if a person's, you know, in the supermarket, okay, and he sees a bar of chocolate, and he just takes it and hides it in his agala, and he doesn't pay for it, okay, the soul might be screaming, you know, inside of him, but he can't actually do anything about it. He can't stop the person acting, right? Is at the level of nefesh. When a person's already reached ruach, the soul is already active. It's got an active desire of its own, okay? And already at that point, a person won't do things like that because he's very aware of his soul by then, okay? Is like if he was to, he can already perceive the reward for the mitzvot, and he can also see the consequences of the avirot, and it's not just something that he can has to believe in; it's something he can actually feel and experience. So therefore, at that stage, ruach. Ruach is something very active. It's like much more. That he's got a positive desire for the good, and he's got a very negative response to the evil, which is not the case at nefesh. The soul inside of him might be kind of feeling that, but in his consciousness, it doesn't come to his consciousness. So if a person at the stage of nefesh wants to do an avirah, the soul lets him, you know. And it says in the Zohar, "Balitaher ozrim lo, misayim lo." They help him. If a person wants to get clean, they help him. But balitama, he comes to get unclean. No, potchim lo. They let him. Okay, and that's the stage of nefesh. So you can see there's a tremendous difference in the muda'ut, in the consciousness between nefesh and ruach. It's huge, and it's exactly like the difference between an inanimate object and a plant. And the life in the plant, you can see the life. The plant has got life. It's got movement. Its roots will, you know, search out goodness in the ground, and the branches will reach up, and it'll move towards the sun, and. Also, it grows. It's got life force. It's got its own energy. And if it's all the plants actually, they do photosynthesis and they channel the energy of the sun into the form of food. I mean, it's amazing what the plants do. And whereas an animate, you know, a rock or something, it's just, you know, it's a rock. Of course, we need the rocks too, because when they break down, they make the earth. Which the plants can grow on. So everything needs its substrate before. But you can see the difference in consciousness that there is between nefesh and ruach.
Can you say more about the consciousness in nefesh? It literally, there's no discrimination between, better and worse?
Well, that's not actually that true. I mean, that would be true of nefesh, but nefesh. But, I mean, inside nefesh, you've got nefesh, ruach, neshama, chaya, yechida of nefesh. Okay? Because every stage has got its different levels of consciousness.
Okay.
Okay, so you can have nefesh of nefesh, ruach of nefesh, neshama of nefesh, chaya of nefesh, and yechida of nefesh. Now, to be a tzaddik, you have to be an affinity of form with the madrigal of ruach. But ruach of nefesh is already in affinity of form with ruach.
Oh.
So in fact, what looks to us, like a tremendously impossible job is actually pretty close. We only have to get from nefesh of nefesh to ruach of nefesh.
It sounds like nothing.
It sounds like nothing, absolutely. I mean, it means that from nefesh of nefesh to ruach of nefesh, we already get an appreciation of Hishtavut Tzua and the divine and the tzaddik. And the tzaddik, I mean, and then of course the tzaddik begins his work, and you can just imagine how many levels of madrigot there are for open to the tzaddik. I mean, it's just ruach of nefesh, neshama of nefesh, chay of nefesh, yechida of nefesh, and then you go to nefesh of ruach, nefesh, ruach of ruach, neshama of ruach, chay of ruach, and yechida of ruach, and then you go into all the levels of neshama, and not to speak of yechida and chay. I mean, it's just a chay and yechida. It's just like incredible what this, what this ladder, and that's the ladder. The sulam, which stretches from the ground and magia ad hashamayim. It's incredible. So, when a person gets to a ruach of nefesh, that's when he begins his work. And it's not so far away. It's not so impossible. When you take a look at the whole thing in perspective, and it says that this is close to you in your hearts to do it. Oh dear, Susan's line dropped completely. Let me call her back.
Call her back.
Yeah, you there again?
Yeah, I don't know what happened.
Neither do I. Just suddenly collapsed totally. Never mind. Lucky I noticed.
Yeah. So what gets us from the nefesh of nefesh to the ruach of nefesh?
Excellent question. Now that is the question that occupies, I would say, 9/10 of all the Sefer Ma'amarim of Rav Baruch Ashlag. All his work, which is about, how to apply the learning, is on how do we get from our consciousness of nefesh to consciousness of ruach. It's all about that. It's all about going from Torah Shelo Lishma, first of all, going from like and then Torah Shelo Lishma, which was also nefesh, but a higher level, until we get to Torah Shelo Lishma, which is ruach benefesh. And it's all about that. And the whole thing is about, how do I get to hashpa al manat lashpia? Because once I do hashpa al manat lashpia, I'm already in affinity form with ruach. And then there's level after level after level after level. So he's actually, the Sefer Ma'amarim is incredible help with that question. It's like there's, article after article after article describing how the ego opposes the work and how to deal with the ego. And basically that's what he's talking about. How do I get from the first stage to the second stage?
So that's Torah Lishma, Lishma.
Yeah, I think so. No, Torah Shelo Lishma is still, I think.
That's nefesh of nefesh.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, but about Hashbaal Manat Lashpia, which would be, I think there's called, there's another Madriga he talks about. I think it's Toa Lishmo is Hashbaal Manat Lashpia, and Toa Lishma is the one after that, Neshama of Nefesh. Toa Lishmo is what he talks about that in one of, in, you remember in that Ma'amar we learnt together?
I don't remember that at all.
Well, it's there.
No, I believe you. I'm just, it sounds really interesting.
It is. Let me think a minute. It's when you're doing it just for its own sake, but you still don't perceive the wearer of the garments. You still don't perceive the God is the is the Hashem and the Torah is one. That the essence of the Torah is God Himself. It's when you get to that perception, then you get to Torah Lishma. When you're still doing it from giving for the sake of giving, you're just doing it for God's sake, that's Torah Lishmo, that would be Hashbaal Manat Lashpia, and you're already in affinitive form, that would be, let's say, Ruach of Nefesh. And then Torah Lishma would be when you've already got Giloy Hashem in the Torah.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Difference from getting from Nefesh to Ruach, when you're saying it as an act of will of its own, that means what we have to do is not be passive, but to be always actively choosing the right thing to do, always having to be in the sense of choosing the good over
bad. Yes,
Dalia. That's all work is to choose all the time, not be, you know, okay, it's, I've been like that all my life, therefore I'm going to be always like that, etc., or whatever. Or every moment choosing the active choice, doing Bekedusha versus Tum'ah. Is this going to bring me closer to Hashem, or this is going to bring me far to Hashem? Is this
absolutely.
That's the whole work.
Absolutely. You put it in a sentence. I mean, that's it, and the work is in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like the moment to moment choice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you got it. Yishar koach, super. By the way, your idea of stop.
Okay.
It's brilliant.
Yay!
It's very practical.
It's very practical. I can't say that it always worked. There was one instant this week, definitely, where I can definitely say that it didn't. On the other hand, I can't say I was that sorry afterwards either. I think he deserved it. But never mind. Never mind the time when it didn't work. I have managed to use it a couple of times and found it very helpful indeed.
How's your kitchen?
Baruch Hashem.
That's good news.
There's a couple of things, but you know, Baruch Hashem, Baruch Hashem, Baruch Hashem. You know, it's getting there. Baruch Hashem.
Yeah.
Baruch Hashem. Very good. Excellent. Now then, so we'd said, O ha'igulim, hu O ha'nefesh. So the light which the igulim receive is or which belongs to the madriga of nefesh. Okay, and why is that? Is because the igulim don't have a masach. Okay, so they can't do any active action. All right, whereas or hayoshel who or haruach, the light which it pertains to the svirot of the yosha, have a masach. Those vessels have a masach. So they can first do an action, okay? So you see the difference between nefesh and ruach, okay? There's an action involved. There's a choice involved with the masach. You put the masach there and you give. Techila netzlu ha'igulim. First came forth the igulim, as we saw. They were the first vessels to be formed after the tzimtzum, or to be discovered, if you like, more correctly. When the light left, What did they find? They found the igulim. And then v'achakach ha-yosheh. Then came forth the yosheh, because that was then that when the light came back again, the yosheh was like, no, we don't want to go back to receiving just the way we did. And they gave back the light. So it's the kelim is like a different mudu'ut. It's not like a physical, first there's this vessel and then there's this vessel. It's like first the original desire of the Ein Sof was simply to receive, which is the igulim. They simply receive, whereas the consciousness of the Yosho is a more advanced consciousness, where it says, no, I don't want to just receive. First, I want to give back the light and be in affinity of form. So again, we're talking about two different consciousnesses. And I think, Dalit, it very much relates to what you just said, that, you know, when we're children, we just receive. And then do we carry on in that a mode of just receiving in our adult lives as well? Or do we reach a point when we say, I have a choice and I want to activate my choice, and my choice right now is to give back the light and to give it out and to give it in whatever way it's right at that moment. Very, 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 very good. All right. Okay. Omnam. However, the difference that there is, I'm just reading the Ari. Omnam achiluk shish ben igulim leyoshe, hu ki yotzviot igulim hem b'chinat ha'or hanikra nefesh. V'yesh bem or pnimi v'or mekif, pnimi v'chitzon. Shish la b'chinat yotzviot shel kelim, ובכל כלי מהם יש פנימיות וחיצוניות. וגם יש עוד יוד ספירות של אורות, לכל אור יש בו אור פנימי ואור מקיף. Up to here. All right. However, the distinction between the igulim and the yosher is that the 10 ספירות of igulim are the aspect of the light which is designated as nefesh, which we talked about. Their light is received as inner light and surrounding light. And they have, you know, the vessels are also vessels which receive the light within them and externally as well. They have 10 sfirot of kelim, okay? So inside them there's 10 sfirot. And every vessel has its innermost aspect and its outer aspect. And so there is subsequently, because there's 10 sfirot, there's also 10 sfirot of lights. And every light, again, is received as inner light or surrounding light. Aval ha-yud sfirot yosher, heim b'chinat ha-or ha-nikra ruach. Ve-shehu madriga gvor al madrigat ha-nefesh, k'noda. Gam heim klulim me-or primi ve-or mekiv. Gam yesh lem yud sfirot kelim. ובכל כלי מהם יש בו פנימיות וחיצוניות. ופשיטה היא שבחינת הנפש נאצלה תחילה, ואחר כך נאצלה לרוח. Okay. But the 10 sfirot of Yosher received the light of, which is called Ruach, which is a higher level. Now higher, if you remember, means more in affinity of form. Okay. Okay, it's closer in affinity of form, which means it's more giving than the Madrigal of Nefesh, as we know. It's also made up of the Or Pnimi and Or Mekif. And it also has 10 sefirot of vessels. And each one of them has the innermost aspect and outer aspect. And simply, the aspect of Nefesh comes forth first and subsequently is brought forth Ruach. Okay, so that's the Ari. Which is
the Sfirot HaYosher don't have nefesh at all, just Ruach?
That's actually, they do have nefesh. By the terms nefesh and Ruach here, he's talking, I know, in a way that characterizes the type of light. Okay, now the language of Kabbalah is a very, very, very short language, all right, which means that it has multiple uses for the same words. So what it means here is that the Sfirot of Yosher have the ability to do a masach. Now, the level of the masach can be very minimal or it can be huge. Depends on what Sfirah we're talking about. But the characteristic of the vessel is that it's got a masach. And that's what he means by that the light is ruach. It's active. It's got that ability to do a masach. Okay, so at the moment he's not talking about which madrigota inside there, except he does say each one is made up of 10, which means that they inside that masach, you know, as it's got different levels of the masach. You've got a very feeble masach, if you like, which would only give you the light of nefesh. You've got a stronger masach, which would give you ruach, and you've got a stronger masach, and you've got, you know, different levels of the masach, which would be equivalent to the 10 Sfirot. We're going to learn more about the levels of the Masach in the Histaklut Pnimit here, and in the Peticha we learn a lot about it. Okay. Mark, my husband, used to imagine it like a cricket game. Well, I was fond of cricket. And like if you throw a feeble ball to the batsman, you know, he can just sort of like feebly push it back at you, and it hardly goes anywhere. Right?
Right.
But if you throw a whacking great big heavy thing to the batsman with all his might, now it can either get the batsman out, or if the batsman's good, he's going to whack it straight back and it'll go right to the end of the stands, and you've got a six. Okay. Yeah. So if you've got a big desire for something, and you overcome your Yetzer Hara, and you let it go, and you give it back, and you do the work, you know, the madrigal that you get subsequently is very big. Whereas if you don't really want the something in the first place, and it's rather feeble, so it's not so difficult to do a masach on it. So you give back a little bit of masach, and you're done, you know. But the light you get in for that isn't so great either. So it's very, very dependent on what the strength of the original desire is. If the original desire is very large, as in some of the Sfirot, then the light that you end up with is also very large. But we'll come into that, you know, how that works in more detail. So don't worry about it now. The most important thing to understand here is that he's using the words nefesh and ruach more as a description of the characteristic of the light, that nefesh is a passive and ruach is an active.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Very good. Very good question. Excellent. So, who wants to read Kaf? Is Leah here?
She texted me that she can't come after all.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, so it's us.
Yes, we miss her. Okay. All right. Susan, would you like to read a Kaf down below?
Okay. Kol hasfirot shebiyachaltan rak lekabel orot ve'en lehen hayecholet lehashpia la'ach.
Yeah, this is talking about the Yod Sfirot of Igulim. That's it. Yeah. Okay. Sorry.
Mekune ha'or shebehen, b'shem or ha'nefesh, ukvar nitba'er, shekol ha'or shebe'igulim, mukhrachim lekabel me'or ha'kav. Be'kelim.
I've got here v'hata'am. I think you missed a line.
I'm missing two lines in my text. It's very strange. There's a blank.
Oh dear. I'll read it to you.
Thank you.
V'hatam she'ifshah she'itkasher o ha'elyon ba'kelim. Zulat al-edei zivug im ha'masach ha'ma'aleh o chozer. Asher ha'or ha'hozeh hazeh mekasher ha'or bekelim kanan. That's to the end of the sentence.
Okay, I'm actually just missing one line, I guess. Very
Okay.
strange.
Oh, well. Yeah, I mean, when they typeset this originally, then there were lots of mistakes. Okay.
Ulefikach ha'kelim she'en behem ha'masach hazeh en ha'or ha'elyon mitkasher behem she'yu yechulim lahashpia la'achirim mimala lamata. Ve'enam ra'uyim rak lekabel or me ha-madriga ha-kodemet me mata lamala le'tzorech ha-chayotam atzmam bilvad she'or zeh nikra or ha-nefesh kanal ulefichach kevon she'en masach bekelim de'igulim kanal al kein ein ha-or ha-elyon mitkasher behem Atzmam, Ela Muchrachim Lakabel Haor Min Hakav. Vegam ze Rak Lashiur Kiyotam Atzmam. Velo Lahashpia Kamavor. Vaalkein Nikra Haor Sheba Igulim or Hanefesh Kamavor.
Excellent. All the Sviot, Oh, right. So this is talking about when you see kuf, kaf above. I'm so sorry. Kaf above. It says the ten sviot of igulim. Okay, that's what he wants to talk about. All the sviot. These are all the sviot who only have the ability to receive light, and they don't have the ability to give to others. And the light which is called in them is called by the name of Or Hanefesh. Okay, and we've already explained that all the light which is in the igulim has to be received from the light of the kav, that is from the sirot of yosher, which is called the kav. And the reason is that it's impossible for the highest light to connect with the vessels except through the zivog with a masach, which raises up the returned light. It is the returned light which connects the light to the vessels, as we spoke above. And therefore, those vessels which don't have a masach, the highest light is unable to connect with them. Or the highest light doesn't connect with them, such that they could give to others from above to below. And they are only fitting einam ru'uyim rak. Okay. Now in modern Hebrew you would say einam ru'uyim ela rak. Okay. It means it's like two negatives here, which mean a positive. Okay, so it means they are only fitting to receive light from a higher level, from below to above, from the previous level, from below to above, for their own life force alone. And this light is designated as Or HaNefesh Kanal. And therefore, since there is no masach in the kelim of the igulim, as we said, therefore, the highest light cannot connect with them, but they have to receive the light from the kav, that's through the Sfirot de Yosher. And this is actually only in the measure for their life force alone, and not for them to give, as we've explained. And therefore, they are called the light of the Igulim or Hanefesh, as we have explained. That's very fascinating, because I think, you know, animals, do they give? Yes, they do give, but they're not giving in the out of like a choice. This is what I think we come back again to the to Dalia's word of choice here. That they give because it's their nature. or they take because it's their nature.
You see, I see that in the cats that live around us. If the mothers have a certain level of hormones in their body after giving birth, mm-hmm. they'll be totally giving. And then at a certain point, the hormones stop, and then they wean their children, and they don't, like, they treat them as if they hardly know them.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I've seen that. Absolutely. They'll only give so long as their nature is telling them to. But they don't, it's not to do with choice.
Right.
It's not to do with choice. It's to do with, you know, whatever their hormones are saying, basically, how they're programmed. Whereas again, we come back like the masach, and I think the word choice and associated with the masach is such a powerful metaphor, such a powerful understanding of what the masach is. So basically, what he's saying is that the vessels of the Igulim don't have choice. They receive their light only from the Kav, and they only receive what they need for their own chayut, for their own life force, but not beyond that. Very good.
It's amazing that we learned all about Igulim, and this short paragraph says everything about it. It's like a quick summary.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, it's wonderful. It's so much the way that Rav Ashlag teaches, you know, and you just have to get used to it that, you know, very, very often he'll, like, bring you through all the intricacies of a subject and you're kind of like thinking, I don't understand anything, and you just keep going and keep going, keep going, and then suddenly he'll get to a place and he sums the whole lot up. And it's just, wow, I do understand it after all. Yeah, it's like, you know what I mean? It's like you have to have a lot of patience for the work and for yourself, and just like flow with it very much, and just like a lot of patience. Because eventually you get there. Mm-hmm. You know, that chelek bet, you know, when I started, I said to you guys, you know, I'll never be able to do this, you know, we'll just have to manage what we've got. Actually, we're doing fine. Mm-hmm. So, Baruch Hashem. Okay. Dalia, would you like to eat a slumad?
Okay.
Lovely.
Yud Sfirot Daruach Hen Prinat Mashpi'im. Belefichach Nikra Or Haruach. Beshem Or Hazachar. Klomar Shu Mashpia. Aval Yud Sfirot Nefesh Mechunot Beshem Or Nikba. Klomar Shemekabelet Veino. יכולה להשפיע. אם כן, מכונות יוד הספירות של אור הקו, בשם יוד ספירות הרוח, להורות שהן בחינת אור זכר ומשפיע. והתם כבר נתבאר לעיל בדיבור הסמוך על שם? עיין
שם.
עיין שם. ולכן הרוח גבוה. על מדרגת נפש, משום שהוא המשפיע על הנפש.
אל הנפש.
אל הנפש.
Excellent, thank you. So here he's talking about the Yod Sfirot of Yosher, okay, that these 10 Sfirot of Yosher, they are the aspect of the light, which is designated as Ruach. The 10 Sfirot of Ruach are givers, okay, they give. And therefore, the Or of Ruach is called male light, Or HaZachar, the light of the male. Okay, because in the Kabbalah, Zachar refers to giving. It doesn't mean a man or a woman, it means giving. Okay? A woman has got, you know, both aspects within her as well. Okay, and so as a man, it's not to do with that. It's to do with, Zachar is the word in the Kabbalah which means giving. That is giving. But the 10 Sfirot of Nefesh are called by the name of Or Nekeva, the light of receiving, that is to say receiving, and cannot give. And therefore, the Yod Sfirot of the light of the Kav are called by the name of the 10 Sfirot of Ruach to show that they are the aspect of male light and giving. And the reason is, as we explained in the section above, and therefore Ruach is higher, more in affinity of form, more than the Madrigal of Nefesh, because it's giving to the Nefesh. So here is just basically explaining why this is called Ruach, and it's because they're giving. Okay, so the word Ruach and the word Zachar here is used as synonyms. So the word Nefesh and Ruach here is not necessarily talking so much about the levels of light they receive, but it's talking in a more general sense of characterizing the type of light, whether it's a passive, as in the case of the Igulim, or whether it's active because of the Masach, in the case of the Sviot of Yosher. Everything so far so good?
Yeah.
Wonderful. Excellent. So let's move on to Hay then. Oh dear. This is the bit I get stuck with. All right, I better do this one. Oh well. Okay. Ana ach ampin de igulim. מאיר לאבא ואימא דעיגולים, בבחינת חלונות, משלושה קווין, ימין, שמאל ואמצע שבו, ומהם נמשך האור לכל העיגולים באופן, שכל הפרטים שיש ביושר, יש גם כן בעיגולים. Right, now these terms are terms which belong to the world of Tzimtzum Bet, all right, which we are very far yet from learning. So don't freak out, you've never heard of them. Because you haven't. All right. Now, in Tzimtzum Bet, we have the combination of compassion with Din. And it's something that we're going to learn, okay, because we need to learn it, but we're not going to learn it yet. All right. We've still got a little bit of a way to go before we learn it. Now, the terms that are used here are terms for the Sefirot, which are derived from Tzimtzum Bet, from the world of Atzilut. So I will just translate them for us into language that we are more familiar with. Arich Ampin would be the equivalent of Keter, of Igulim. Meir to Abba ve'ima would be Chochma and Bina of Igulim. In the aspect of Chalonot, he hasn't yet explained what a Chalon is. Okay, from three lines, Yamin, Smol, and Emtsa, the right-hand line, the left-hand line, and the middle line. Okay, now, the right-hand line is the vessels of, basically, of giving. Those that, this is in Tzimtzum Bet. The left-hand line is those that receive, but, okay. But it's not talking about Ruach and Nefesh, it's just talking about characteristic of vessels. And the middle line. And from them is drawn the light to all the Igulim, such that all the details which are in the Yosher are also in the Igulim. Now again, Yamin and Smol and Emtsa are aspects of Tzimtzum Bet. If we look at the way, well, we haven't learned it yet, but if we look at the way that Tzimtzum Aleph works, you've got Keter, Chochma, Bina, Tiferet, and Malchut, and one is closer to the to God, to the Ein Sof than the other. So you can imagine them in a sort of hierarchical fashion, all right? And that's called a kav, okay? That the highest ones are the is Keter, and that's the most close to the Ein Sof, and the furthest one away is Malchut because it's more receiving, and that's at the bottom of the kav. Okay, so you can imagine it in as a line. Okay, it's called a line also. In Tzimtzum Bet, that line becomes three. Now, if we look at ourselves, if we look at our bodies, you can see that we have three lines. We've got our right-hand line, we've got our left-hand line, and we've got the middle line. Okay? Just simply. Now, our bodies are built the way they're built because they follow the pattern of the soul. And the pattern of the soul is three lines. So that's why we have three lines in our bodies. It's because we have three lines in our souls, which is how the Kelim line up. And we are modeled after Tzimtzum Bet, not Tzimtzum Aleph. Okay? That's all I can really say about that for now. It's something that we will learn, but we'll just see what the Ari wants to tell us first in this context. It's jolly tricky when Rav Ashlag and the Ari suddenly put in terms that, you know, you're far away yet from learning. However, we shall carry on. Hey, gam biyot hayud svirot bivchinat igulim, ze b'toch ze, yesh behem kol ha-bivchinot shel kabbalat ha-shefa, shebiyud svirot shebikav ha-yoshe, v'hu, כי בעיגול הקטע הנקרא ערך אמפין אחר התיקון, יש נקב אחד וחלון בצד ימין העיגול, ומשם יורד אור עריך אל עיגול אבא, ומאיר אליו. ועוד יש חלון שני בשמאל העיגול של עריך, ויוצא האור עד צד שמאל דעיגול אבא, אשר בתוכו ונוקבו ונעשה בו חלון, ומשם נמשך האור עד עיגול אמא, שבתוך עיגול אבא, ומאיר בו. ונמצא כי בעבור האור תוך שמאל עיגול אבא, אינו לאבא עצמו, ואינו עובר שם רק דרך מעבר בלבד. אבל עיקר הערה היא לאמא. ונמצא כי ערך אמפין מאיר לאבא ואמא יחד, כמו שהוא בעניין היושה שלהם ממש. ואף כי הם עיגולים זו בתוך זו, יש להם קווים ישרים, ימין ושמאל ואמצע, בבחינת החלונות האלו שבהם, ומשם נמשך האור ביוד סבירות עיגולים, דרך קווים ישרים ממש, בכל הפרטים עצמם כולם, אשר ביוד סבירות דקו ישר דרוח ממש. Well, this is pretty impossible. But we shall see what he's trying to say. Okay, so we'll take the Ari slowly, all right? And then we'll see what Rav Ashlag helps us with, because this is where you're desperate for Rav Ashlag. Right, now, there is 10 sfirot in the aspect of Igulim, one inside the other, and they have all the aspects of receiving the light which are in the 10 sfirot of the Kav of Yosher. And this is because in the Igul of Keter, which is called Arich Anpin after the Tikkun, and by the Tikkun he means after Tzimtzum Bet, okay, there is a Nekev Echad and a Chalon. Now, in order to understand these words, which I can't remember what they are, we need Rav Ashlag to tell us what is a Nekev and what is a Chalon, okay, which I can't translate. So I suggest we don't translate the Ari anymore. We go to Rav Ashlag. Okay? And then we'll go back and retranslate it. It's going to take us a few weeks to do this paragraph by the look of it. All right. So, Mem. Okay. Gam biyot hayot svirot bivchinat igulim ze betoch ze. Klomar. שאין חמש מדרגות קטע חוכמה בינה זרמפין ונוקווה נמשכות ביושה, שפירושו זו למטה מזו, דהיינו מהזך אל האב, אלא שחמש המדרגות שוות זו לזו, ואין אחד למטה מחברותה, דהיינו שתהיה אהבה מחברותה. אלא ודאי שיש ביניהן על כל פנים ההבחן של סיבה מסובב, שהרי הן יוצאות זו מזו, ונמשכות זו מזו, שהחוכמה יצאה מהקטר, והבינה מחוכמה, וזה רמפין מבינה, ומחות מזה רמפין. אמנם הבחן זה של סיבה מסובב האמור, מוגדר בבחינת המצם זה תוך זה. אשר כל סיבה מסובבת את המסובב שלה, אשר החוכמה מסובבת מקטר, ובינה מסובבת מחוכמה וכו'. באופן אשר זה תוך זה, פירושו זה מסובב מזה, כמובן. אבל אין ביניהם הבחן של מעל ומטה כל עיקר. Excellent. Well, this is a help. It begins, all right? Rav Ashlag is saying that what the Aryeh means by the words zeh toch zeh, one inside the other, is that one is a cause of the other, but not that one is more, is better or worse than the other, in the sense of one being more zach and one being more aveh than the other. Okay, that they're still in Hashvata Tzua. Do you remember we looked at that originally in the inyan of the Igulim, that they were like layers of onions? That right. One causes the other, but then there's no actual difference in better or worse. And that's why they're called Igul, okay? Because at this stage, the Tzimtzum happened from a place of free choice, and therefore you can't say that one aspect is better or worse than the other. Good. So what Rav Ashlag is saying here in Mem is, that is to say, that these five madrigot of lights of Keter, Chochma, Bina, Zerampin, and Malchut, which are drawn from the Yosher. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Let me say this again. Gam biot hayot svot bivchina igulim ze b'toch ze. That is to say that the five madrigot, Keter, Chochma, Bina, Zerampin, and Nukva, are not drawn in the Yosher, in the sense of one below the other, that is more zach and more pure to the more opaque. But these five madrigot are equivalent one to another. And there is not one which is worse than its friend, that it should be more opaque than its friend. However, the five sfirot, the ten sfirot, do have difference between them in the sense of cause and effect. That is to say that they come forth one from the other and are drawn one from another. That Chochma comes forth from Keter and Bina from Chochma and Zerampin from Bina and the Malchut from Zerampin, as we learnt. However, this distinction of cause and effect, you know, cause and is caused by, as we've said, is defined in the sense of they are being defined as being one inside the other. Okay, so when the Ari says zeh betoch zeh, one inside the other, what he means is one causes the other. Okay. That is, every cause gives rise to the one it causes. So that Chochma is caused by Keter and Bina is caused by Chochma and so forth, on and so forth. Such that the words ze toch ze, one inside the other, means one is caused by the other, as we've explained. And there is no difference, a distinction between better or worse at all. Okay?
Okay.
So far so good?
So far so good.
Wonderful. Yeah. How about you, Susan?
Yeah.
Great. Lovely. Let's go on to Nun then. Nun. Yesh bahem, I'm looking at the top of the Ari. Yesh ben kol haf bichinot shel kabbalat ha-shefa shebiyud sfirot shebekava yosher. Okay, he says that they have in them all the aspects of receiving the light, which are to be found in the ten sfirot of the Kava Yosher. Okay. Ki chen ha'or mitrashay me'akli hamelubash bo. For the light is impressed by the vessel in which it is enclosed. Asher afilu kshiyotzei misham lekli acher eno mishanet drachav shayu lo bekli akudem. I better just read it all in Hebrew, then I'll translate. Olefichach kevan shebaod shaor haya bekav shebiyosher haya nimshach v'yored v'zeh lamata mizeh. Dahenu shaya holech u'mitaveh beseder madrigot misibat ha'masach ha'matzui sham kanal v'alken afilu אחר שיצא משם ובא אל עשר ספירות דיגולים, שאין בהן מסך, ומתרגל בהן בהכרח. אם כל זה אינו משנה את דרכיו בהתפשטותו ממדרגה למדרגה. פירוש, כי למשל, כשהאור של הקו בא לסביבת קצר, הוא מתרגל שם, כלומר, שמקבל את צורת אותו כלי, שאין שם הבחן מעלה מטה. אמנם, כשמתפשט האור מעיגול הקצר אל עיגול החוכמה, הוא אינו מתרגל אלא נמשך ביושר, כלומר, בהבחן מעלה ומטה. ונמצא משום זה סביבת עיגול החוכמה למטה מעיגול הקטר ואב מהקטר שאין צורתם שווה. והדרך זה כשבא אור מהחוכמה אל הבינה הוא נמשך לה ביושר ונבחן שהבינה למטה מהחוכמה. דהיינו יותר אב מהחוכמה. והדרך זה כל הסבירות. באופן שאף על פי שעשר סביבות עיגולים צורתם שווה בלי הבחן מעלה מטה מצד הכלים, כנ"ל. עם כל זה, יש בין הבחן מעלה ומטה, מצד שיש בין כל הבחינות של קבלת השפע, שביוד הסביבות שבקו היושר. The light which is impressed in the vessel, the light cannot or mitrashim. The light gets an impression from the vessel in which it is enclosed, so that even when it leaves there and goes to another vessel, it doesn't change its ways that it had in the previous vessel. Therefore, since that whilst that light was in the kav of the yosher, it was drawn and then descends one below the other, because the light goes from the keter to the chokhmah to the bina tifet malchut, and each one is more receiving than the other one. Okay, and it's got different levels of masach, as we will learn. That is, it goes and becomes more aver, more receiving, according to level after level, because of the masach which is there, as we said. But Al came, and therefore, even after it's gone forth from there and come to the ten sefirot of the Igulim that don't have a masach, and it's of necessity it takes on the form of the Igul, nevertheless, in other words, it's, you know, doesn't have a masach, nevertheless, it's still, it doesn't change its way, but still develops from level to level. Explanation. For example, when the light of the kav comes to the sefirah of Keter, it takes on the form of igul, in other words, only light of nefesh, all right, with no masach. That is, it takes on the form of that, it takes on the desire of that kli. Tzurah means desire. Okay, it takes on the desire of that kli, which is that it doesn't have a masach, that it hasn't got any aspect of better or worse. However, when it emanates the light from the igul of Keter to the igul of Chochmah, it is drawn as it was in the vessel of, according to the Kav. That is to say, with a distinction of better and worse. We find, therefore, that the igul of chokhmah, the sefirah of the igul of chokhmah, is below, is more coarse, is more separated from God than the igul of keter, and it is more receiving than that of keter, and its form is not equivalent. And therefore, and in this way, when the light of chokhmah comes to bina, it's drawn to it as it was in the way of the Yosher, and thus we find that Bina is below that of Chochmah, that it is more of than Chochmah. And in this way, all the Sviot, such that even though the Ten Sviot of Igulim in their original form, they are equal, without the distinction of better or worse from the part of view of the vessels. Nevertheless, there does come about within them the distinction of better and worse, that there is all is such that they will, you know, that there is now all the aspects of the receiving of the bounty as distinct aspects, is what he wants to say, which are in the ten sefirot, which appear in the ten sefirot of the Kav of Yosher.
There had to be some kind of difference, otherwise there wouldn't be a different igul.
Yes, exactly. Quite right. You've got it, Dahlia. That's it, exactly. I mean, otherwise, you know, all the mice and the pussycats and the rats and the horses would all look the same to us.
Right. There has to be a difference.
There has to be a difference, yes. So even though their overall natures are that they're fixed and they can't do hashba'ah and they can't do a masach, nevertheless, they have different forms and they have different natures. And yeah, definitely. Absolutely. Wonderful. Yishar koach gadol, my friends. You're doing very well. Super. Well, I mean, you know, that paragraph, you know, that paragraph started off as Chinese, but, you know, we managed the first two bits of it okay. So there is hope for us yet.
You said patience.
That's all it is. It's all it is patience. In fact, that's what Rav Baruch Ashlag says. You know, he says, when you're dealing with yourself and you're dealing with your ego, he says, the only actual thing that I say to you is just hang in there. That's all he says. That's practically his only instruction. He just says patience. So we learn patience in the learning, and it helps us with patience for the work. Wonderful. Yishar koach gadol. Super. All right, my dear ones.
So next week, I want to Bezat Hashem bli neder be in Rabbi Shimon, in Oregon News, next week for Lag BaOmer.
Are you? Wow. When is Lag BaOmer?
Wednesday night.
Uh-huh.
You
want to
so,
come by?
What? How? Okay. I want to come by. Well, this is my problem. My problem is I want to go with the Rav Ashrav's group, the Mutu'ut from Tel Aviv.
Oh, you better stay. No, then you've got to stay with them. It's hopeless there. I mean, millions of people.
I don't want to go by myself, so I found this. This is what I'm studying with the Lima in Jerusalem. My only problem, it comes back to Tel Aviv, and then I have to, in the middle of the night, find my way home to Jerusalem. But Hashem Yazor. So that's what I'm working on now. But I will be there, and if something happens, I know you're there.
yes. I have to tell you, Dahlia, we keep away. We keep far, far away. Far away. Rabbi Shimon, I love Rabbi Shimon, but I love him not at Lag BaOmer. No, I love him from my house. I can see Harei Meiron from my house. So I shall wave to you.
Okay.
But there's no way. But it's a shame. There's no way I'm going to Meiron over Lag BaOmer.
In fact,
my kids' school is the Orpanat Meiron, and they're in Meiron at the Yeshuva, and they close the school on Tuesday, and they have the rest of the week off. Mm-hmm. They don't want the kids there.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want the kids there. Mamash, it's just dreadful.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, and you know, and the rubbish afterwards. Oh God,
oh, terrible.
It's a mifka ekologit. Mamash kacha, and I can't understand why people do it.
They don't have the taboo to that. I don't know.
Well, it gives one that they do have the taboo.
Well, the only reason I'm going, because I Rabbi Shimon Exiruti b'tshuva so many years, 35 years ago, and there is an Oregon News with Rav Mordechai Schoenberger and the whole thing in a suda
wonderful.
So that's one of the reasons I'm going.
Oh, yes, definitely.
So
you know, if it's organized, I know that Rav Yehuda Lev Ashtag, Rav Boch Ashtag used to go to Meiron. They used to go to Meiron. They used to do a trip to Meiron around Lag BaOmer time until it got so bad that I don't know if I've got Libra. The Beta Midrash comes up usually the day before. They don't. I think they come up on the day before. They don't come on Labba Omer anymore.
Yeah, so I'll see what I'm. Hashem is pushing me to do this.
Excellent. Very good. Yeah, I love Rabbi Shimon. I mean, when I want to go to the Kotel and I can't get to the Kotel, it's Rabbi Shimon who I go to.
Exactly.
He's my Kotel up here.
Did you?
Yeah. Totally.
Going to Rabbi Nachman in Chutz Laaretz, which I don't want to do anymore, so I have my Rabbi Shimon. But it's millions of people, a million people, but I don't know why. It's just I have to pray for my few people in the family, and I just got to do this for Litkarev.
Excellent. May all your prayers be answered.
Thank you, sweetheart.
Yes, Mama.
Away from this.
Oh, wait, so you mean that next Thursday? I understand completely.
I'll be on my way home.
Somewhere. Yes, hopefully. Now, if you need anything, like I say, I'm not far away.
Okay.
All right. So
I get stuck. Okay.
Yeah, but I don't know. You know, it's millions. I mean, millions. And they have, you know, like they don't let any private cars near there. And they block the streets. And it's just like, but they have shuttle services with the buses. Mm-hmm. But you know, even that breaks down. Take Dalia, no matter what you do, you have to take plenty water mm-hmm. and a big hat.
Okay.
And sun cream, because they you know, they're meant to provide shelters and they're meant to provide all sorts of stuff. And
last going night, early in the afternoon and night, so it's beseder.
But still take plenty water.
Okay.
Don't get stuck without water up there.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's an adventure. We'll see. I'll tell you about it.
You should call her doll.
Okay, sweetheart. Thanks so much.
All right, my love. Okay.
Bye.
Shabbat shalom. Bye.
Bye.
Very good.
So next week I hope Leah can join us. So
yes, I must start putting up these things again. I'm so behind with everything. I'm terribly sorry. I wanted to thank you, Susan, so much for your patience on Friday. I wanted to learn, and this was so burning inside of me, and I was so grateful to the opportunity to talk to you. It was so kind of you. I don't think you should pay for that lesson, because it really wasn't a lesson. I think that's one I should just knock off. Honestly, it was just sort of like help, but it wasn't really a lesson. So that's the way I feel about that.
It's always a lesson, Yedida. Whatever you think is right.
Well, I just sort of like burst out, you know, because I was so concerned.
Yeah.
But what can I tell you? I went to speak to Avraham about all my dilemma. And he basically felt, he said, what he said to me was so beautiful. Susan, he said, what you need, he said, you need a sponsor. He said, you shouldn't be worrying about your sponsor. He said, you need somebody who's going to pay for you because the work you're doing is unique and there's nobody else doing it.
That's true.
He said, and you need to understand the uniqueness of your work.
Uh-huh.
So he said to me, do the work for Jeremy to start off with, but keep going with Nahora Press because your work is unique. But he told me to put up on my website requests for donations and sponsoring and see what happens. He said there might be somebody out there who's willing to help. It was a very good idea. And then I had this brilliant idea of actually sort of like putting up on my website if anybody wants to sponsor a podcast, for example, you know, to celebrate to celebrate something or to dedicate something to a loved one, or, you know, like people do.
Uh-huh.
I could do that, and I could, you know, look for people to help sponsor the publication of Path of the Ladder and actually ask for help. He says, there's people out there willing to help you. It was so amazing what he said to me. I had to like think about how the world is abundant.
Yeah.
And to thank God for all the abundance, and I'm sure the abundance will flow.
So in the end, do you have a decision about working on the website?
I not a total one yet. I have to find out, you know, how much he will pay me and things, and I thought a lot about. I definitely think that the got the glossary needs doing. I don't really know yet. I haven't really thought of. I the other thing that Kate Avram said. Look, Yudidi said, don't worry about it going out into the world and you being responsible for the balagan. He said it's out there and it is a balagan. And he said anything you do will only help correct the balagan. It won't help add to it. Which was very sweet of him.
That is a very positive outlook.
He's got a very positive outlook, and he's, and that's basically the truth, actually. Because I mean, B'nai Baruch have translated everything practically. So it's not going to, I'm not going to add any more balagan. It's out there already. What am I going to do? You can't put the cat back in the bag. So I feel better about it in general, and I do. I mean, I do need Parnassa. So. Avraham said, "Don't panic. It's what it's a, you know, it'll be all right, basically." So
that was a good message to get.
Huh?
It's always a good message to get.
It was, and he was very, 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 very comforting, very comforting. And he basically said, "You need to value what you're doing because your work is amazing." So, Baruch Hashem. Wonderful. So that was very positive, and it gives me, you know, a lot of hope and courage to sort of get further. And I mean, I'm beginning now, Susan, to get requests for groups. Oh, shucks, I meant to ask Dahlia, but if you know any men who want to learn in English, I'm beginning to get together a man's group. I'll send an email around to everybody.
Okay.
So I've had a request from one man who's very serious. And since he's a radio presenter on Arut Sheva, I think that's a very good thing.
Yeah.
I actually did an interview on Arut Sheva, an hour's interview, and they really loved it. But it didn't go out because it turned out that they forgot to record the second half.
Oh, so annoying.
Well, never mind. I said, okay, let's do it again. We'll probably do it again next Monday. That'll be fine. But they have to send me the first half. I said, you must send me the first half because I don't remember what on earth I said. I don't remember which bit went in which half. So I said, you've got to let me listen to the first half again so I know what I said at least. So that was quite funny. So we'll re-record the second half. That'll be all right. So, okay. But then that will go out. Now, I didn't realise, but apparently this radio programme is mostly listened to by B'nai Noach. So he said, so there you are. He said, you know, you're going to be out there with B'nai Noach. What are you going to do? You can't stop it. So there you go. So that's a thing. So I talked to, actually he told me that. So I talked a bit about the relationship between Kabbalah and the mitzvot and how important the mitzvot actually are. And I said, if you're B'nai Noach, then you must fulfill the mitzvot of B'nai Noach. And there are websites there which give you a lot of guidance about how to do that. I said, you know, you can't just learn Kabbalah and get sort of experiences. That's not what it's about. It's about how to put it into how to put being giving into practice and transforming our nature. And that's what it's about. And if you're B'nai Noach, then you've been given those mitzvot to work with. So, you know, so I really related to it like that.
Wow, that's so great.
Well, I was very helped by Shmuel, my chavruta Shmuel, who has talked to me an awful lot about the issues of non-Jews and B'nai Noach and Geirim, because he actually had to deal with all of this when he was doing B'nai Baruch in London. And he's a man with such clarity of thought. Such clarity of thought, you know. An incredible man. He's born in Russia, knew nothing, but nothing, not Pesach, not Brit Milah, nothing, Susan. Nothing. He knew nothing at all. And he's Chozer B'Tshuva. He's taught himself Hebrew. We learn in Hebrew with him. He's fluent in Hebrew. He reads Hebrew. He's fluent in English. He's a doctor by profession. And now he's like going on the path of first he did B'nai Baruch, realized it wasn't that, and he's now with learning with me, an incredible man. And he went through with me and he said, you cannot learn, and it's just incredible. His whole dissection of the whole thing is just amazing, amazing, amazing. So he said, this basically comes from Shmuel, that he said, even the non-Jew has mitzvot. And he feels that it's absolutely essential that the non-Jew also keeps the mitzvot that they are given, which is the mitzvot of Bnei Noach, which are 7 mitzvot, and they go on these websites which actually go into this in tremendous detail. All the ramifications of, you know, idol worship and what it really means, like in tremendous detail. So in fact, they do a lot of inner work. They do a lot on Midot. So, you know, thank God. So I found, you know, I think that's the middle way through. So I feel a lot better. So I need to write, you know, the next thing I need to do is write, like we said, onto the website, you know, a section for Kabbalah for Bnei Noach, so, and links to the Bnei Noach websites for them.
That is such a good idea.
Because, you know, I very much thought of what your path was and how you had to progress from where you were born to where you came to. And I don't know, did you convert more than once if you started off in Reform?
Yes, I did. Yes. I converted before my son was born, just before my son was born,
right,
in Reform. And then a few years later, maybe not so many, 3 years later, we moved to Muncie, to Or Sameach, and then they helped us get an Orthodox conversion through a Beit Din in New York, and my son had to have blood, right? But they didn't have to do a whole Brit because he had one, but they took a drop of blood, and we both had to go to the mikveh.
Mm-hmm.
And then my husband and I had to have an Orthodox wedding with Orthodox Adim.
How wonderful! Oh, how lovely!
So we got on a good foundation with the help of the Rabbanim at Or Sameach, who were just incredible.
Amazing, amazing, yeah. Amazing, amazing. What a story, Susan.
There's many more chapters.
Oh, yeah. One day you have to tell me your story because, you know, yeah. Talking to you on Friday helped me with this broadcast. Like to be very open to Bnei Noach because I thought to myself, they could be another Susan. They could be another Susan there. Somebody who's really looking and wants to find a true path. And that helped me look at it in a very positive light rather than, oh, no, we've got to lock this up and keep it all away. And, you know, so really, you know, talking to you really, really helped me so much to come to that middle place that, no, I don't want to teach Kabbalah for people who just want some sort of mystical experience.
Right.
But there are people like yourself who are born into different religions who are genuinely looking. And if they're making the effort to do Bnei Noach and then become a ger, those are very genuine people. Those are people who are really, 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 really working. And I need to know all this because and to come to an understanding because people do contact me.
I was thinking after our conversation, if I can help at all with people who are outside the Jewish community now. I mean, I don't know very much about Buddhists and Hindus, but Christians, I do know the nuances of that world.
Mm, and, yeah, and, okay.
If there's any, you know, if it occurs to you at any point that I could be helpful, I would certainly want to be.
There is one person then that I think would be very helped by you. And that's John. He is in the just about to begin an Orthodox conversion. He contacted me a couple of years ago, 2 years ago, or 3 years ago, and he wanted me to teach him Kabbalah. And it didn't sound appropriate to me. And I talked to him quite a lot. I spent a long time talking to him. And I said, look, you know, I think you need to to do, you know, he was beginning to weigh, maybe convert, not convert, whatever. And then he asked me what type of conversion. I said, look, the only one I can recommend is Orthodox. And I gave him all the information. And he went to Conservative in England, which is not as bad as Conservative in America, much not. It's more yes. closer to Orthodox than not. Right. But it didn't speak to him. And now he's gone into Orthodox. Now he says, this is what I want to do. So so he's going to waiting till he can actually move to a Jewish community. He did ask for somebody to be in contact with him. I thought of Shmuel. But I think actually, if you've offered, I think you would actually be better because you've actually done that path. Where Shmuel, of course, was born Jewish.
Where does John live?
He lives in London somewhere, outside London. So, I mean, you'd have to connect on Skype or email or something.
Email, yes. Yeah,
email, Skype, whatever. You know, Shmuel
being from London, you know, that might help.
Yes, well, I can give John, Shmuel's already agreed. I can give John, you know, both, and then he can, you know.
Great.
If he's got any question, then he's got somebody to ask.
Great. Yes, of course. Email is best for me because I get best, so, yeah. I can't really schedule Skype.
Yes. No, fine. Very good. Very, very, very good. Wonderful. Yeah, that'd be lovely. I'd love to do that and give him a helping hand. Excellent. Wonderful, Susan. Wonderful. Thank you so much.
Okay. Well, I guess we'll be learning again tomorrow. Then.
Yes, but this time I shall stay on topic.
Well, it's always on topic. Not a problem.
It's very sweet of you. It's very, very sweet of you. And but it really helped. I was like so choked up with it and no idea what, you know, really. But now I feel like much more sorted out in my mind. It's been a big thing for me.
Good. Oh, good. It's the path is opening up. That's good.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
Okay. Simcha.
Thank you.
So have a good day.
And you, my love.
Okay.
Okay. Thanks.
Until tomorrow. Bye-bye.
Bye.